This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's hour number two on this Wednesday afternoon. It's 500 below. You just heard that outside. Dave Harrigan, if somebody wants to podcast the show, and we love that we already have folks who do it now, but if folks wanted to sign up, maybe in the first half hour, they heard us talking about free school lunches, free breakfast lunches, if that makes sense, our fun with Rena last hour, everything that's coming up, how would they sign up to podcast the show if their schedule's busy and they can't listen, you know, with rapt attention every 3 hours, Monday through Friday, noon to three?
Well, I'd say the first step is clear your schedule, okay? All right, get your priorities
fair
straight. Yeah. You should be listening to the show live and on the podcast, just in case you were laughing too hard or just thinking too hard about what's being said that you missed something. So certainly listen live. But after you do that, and frankly, what's more enjoyable, listening to this show again or the Jason DeRusha show? I'd say this show again. I'd say revisit the Chad Hartman broadcast. You could do that with the Odyssey app on your little mobile device. You could just go to WCCORadio.com. Maybe you're sitting on a computer. You could do that there. How about Spotify? Little Apple Podcast. Yeah. We got you there. You just search the Chad Hartman Show. Boom, sign up. Maybe you want to subscribe. That's an even better idea when it comes to you.
Very nice.
Thank you.
SNL at 50, Monster Celebration Sunday night. So USA Today, they're cute with the numbers. They went with the 50 best cast members of all time. It also listed 167 cast members throughout its history. I would have guessed higher. Wouldn't you have?
Over 50 years? Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, certainly usually there's not a whole lot of turnover year to year, but 167 right. does seem a little light.
Seems a little low. So I saw 50. I went through the whole list, but I got to tell you, 50 should be listed way higher. Bowen Yang. Bowen Yang is, by the way, by far the star of this cast. Do you agree with that?
Are you taking the Weekend Update guys out because they only do
up? I'm not counting them. Yep, that's it.
Then, yes, I think so. That's fair.
I think he's phenomenal. I think he's top 25. I think Bowen Yang is great. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to go their top 15. Let's go top 15. I want you to text me right now your favorite cast member of all time. SNL, favorite cast member. And by the way, if you're going to send me the text right now, it's not funny. It hasn't been funny for years. Save it. Okay, save it. You're wrong. Hate to break the news to you. You're wrong. And by the way, back when you thought it was great, I guarantee you, I also thought it had some great moments. It also had some mediocre cast members, and it had some dog segments. Weekend Update has never been better. They still get big stars. The stars are excellent. They got plenty of talented people. Rachel Dratch is 15. No way is she 15 on my list, Dave. No chance.
You're saying she's too high on the list?
Yes. No. Get out of here.
I don't know that 15 is right, but she was a key member of two of the great recurring sketches they've had.
That's fair.
Debbie Downer and the Lovers.
Yeah, she shouldn't be that high. Bill Murray, kind of a shock that Bill Murray isn't higher. He's 14.
I think that might be right for Bill.
Might be right. Kristen Wiig, 13. My gut tells me Kristen Wiig should be higher.
Okay. You think she's top 10?
Yes.
Okay. We'll see how... I agree with you for some of the... Yeah. Keenan. Yeah.
I want to go kind of quick here.
Go.
So I want one of your quick, pithy comments, and we'll keep going. Keenan is 12. Keenan has been on there, according to this list. This can't be right.
It is right.
He's been on there since 2003?
Yes. Longest running member.
I knew he was the longest running member, but he's over 20 years on SNL? Man, that's unbelievable. Dana Carvey, 11. What do you think about that ranking?
Might be a little low.
Yep. Maya Rudolph, 10.
I have never understood the fascination with Maya Rudolph. I don't find her funny.
Thank you. Dan Aykroyd, 9. It's interesting. When you listen to the original folks, and it came on maybe in the first few years after, they just rave about Aykroyd's brilliance.
Yeah, he could do anything.
Yep, that's it. That he could do anything. Kate McKinnon, 8, absolutely has to be in the top 10. I think McKinnon and Kristen Wiig as females have to be in the top 10.
That's good for me.
Chris Farley, 7. What do you think?
I think he should be top 5.
Amy Poehler, 6. I like Kate McKinnon and Kristen Wiig better than Amy Poehler.
I agree with you. She should not be in the top 10.
Will Ferrell, 5. Will, I think if you did a public survey, I think Ferrell would win.
He's fighting for my number one spot.
Belushi, 4. Belushi has to be in my top 5. Mm-hmm. He was such a force of nature on that show. Gilda, 3. I don't think Gilda should be that high.
I agree with you.
Some super memorable characters. But no, and I agree 100% with the order of 2 and 1. Phil Hartman, 2. Think he was that talented. Probably can do every character better than anybody else on the show. You buying that?
I think that's maybe true. I mean, Aykroyd would say something about it. Phil was, I mean, almost most excellent as the straight guy in the sketch.
I think he could play everyone. He could play the straight guy.
Yeah.
He could play the central strange character. He could, his ability to morph from, set to set, show to show, I thought was so impressive.
To be the suburban dad, and then next set he's unfrozen caveman lawyer. That's pretty good.
That's it. Yes, I was going unfrozen caveman lawyer. And then for me, without a doubt, for me, Eddie's one. Eddie brought the show back to life, and there are just 4 or 5 Eddie characters that are so good. Now, did Eddie do as many characters as Phil Hartman and Will Ferrell or Kate McKinnon? No. But just how brilliant he was at his characters. I have Eddie 1. Who do you have 1?
I think I still have Will Ferrell 1. I would say Will is the best. I think he had just the most, the amount of characters he had that were either recurring or just one-offs that are completely memorable. One-off, cowbell sketch, unbelievable. Yeah. But I just thought he was a guy that when he was in a sketch, this was Will Ferrell's sketch. And you could say that about Eddie, too, I suppose.
Maybe
the difference is I think Will's probably the best, where Eddie might be the most important in SNL's history for what you said about bringing the show back to prominence.
Now, so, let's just review your text here. Steve Martin, guys, never was a cast member. We're not talking hosts. We're talking cast members. Tina Fey. You know, amazing on Weekend Update, amazing as Sarah, but she wasn't great in other roles, right?
No, she was mostly great as the head writer for many years.
Yes, for sure. Chevy, number one, okay, just messing with you. Thank you. That was supposed to be a block. Dana Carvey, Kirsten Wiig, Phil Hartman. Somebody says, I think Keenan is blah. I think Keenan's fine. He's on this list because he's been there so long. Bill Hader. Bill Hader is way up on the list for me. Where are you with Hader?
I'd put Hader in the 20 range.
Really?
Yeah. I like him. I think I like enough more than him, but very good. Yep. 20 is a good spot. I'll take 20.
Okay. We're moving fast today. There's a Star Tribune story about gubernatorial candidates for 2026. We talked the other day when Walls talked to Esme and certainly gave every indication he's going to run. If you could pick the next governor of the state of Minnesota, and we'll actually try right answers. We'll probably do wrong answers only tomorrow. Let's do, remind me, we'll do wrong answers tomorrow. But if you could pick the winner of the early November race to be the next governor of Minnesota, who do you have? Now, this will probably blend in where it's, well, Bill Murray, it's Kristen Wiig, it's Kate McKinnon. Maybe those are also the answers to the same question. But if you could select the next governor of the state of Minnesota, who you got? 651-461-9226. Phone calls and texts. Light us up right now.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The president of the Minnesota Twins, both now, business operations and on the baseball side, Derek Falvey's with us in about 15 minutes. I thought the Tripp story basically touched on all the obvious names. I guess the one surprise in that story to me, Dave, was somebody comes on the show, Chris Mattel, right? Attorney, not a shrinking violet. He's right in the middle of so many high-profile cases, including right now with Liz Collin and Alpha News and Katie Blackwell. Listen, there are politicos who follow this much closer than the two of us, who know members of the House and Senate right now, Dave, who are putting in the work, who, unless you're in that group, whether you're a reporter, you're a fellow rep, you're a fellow senator, you're a consultant, you're a lobbyist, you probably know the work those folks are doing. You know, I thought it was a bit amusing when they pointed out, well, Stauber and Emmer said they're not running. Okay. You know, what do we expect them to say? I don't think Emmer's going to run because Emmer is extraordinarily powerful in the House right now. He's a whip. And if you're Mike Johnson, you're on the wire every day with Donald Trump. And after ending Tom Emmer's run as speaker for speaker in theory for what was it, about an hour and a half?
46
minutes. They're seemingly back. Yes, they're back together. You know, so, but I think it's incredibly notable. And there are people in politics I have talked to the last 2 months who don't buy that Pete Stauber's not running. That believe there are plenty of things taking place behind the scenes. He's commenting over and over again, too. If you just want to look at it a very simple way, he's commenting, Stauber, over and over again on Walls matters when before he didn't comment as much. I think in the Tripp story, among visible people, my friend of 30 years, Limo, Tafoya. Michelle is now incredibly visible, demonstrating where she is politically. I think if you listen to her when she was hosting here, or you listen to her when she was part of Bernard's show, you knew where Michelle stood. But she's much more outspoken about it. She's clearly, I wouldn't say Michelle is 100% MAGA, but she believes in a lot of those principles. She will differ with Trump in some areas, but she would bring a lot of name recognition where we've watched it, Dave. Name recognition can play a big part. Does she want to jump into it? Does she want to uproot her life, the career she has? Michelle has had so many different careers, the fourth or fifth career she's had, and the success she's having. I have no idea. I mean, people are not going to be surprised when I say I would love if Dean Phillips is the next governor of the state of Minnesota. He said he's not going to run. I believe him. I think he's still much more fascinated by the federal side and the role he can play in trying to bring. I think he was incredibly outspoken with us. And if it was a Washington Post story or it was a Star Tribune story, his belief in a third party, I think that's his next cause. And I'm 100% for it. I'd love for him to run as an independent. If it was Walls, let's go Kendall Qualls and Dean Phillips. What kind of chance does Dean have in Dave Harrigan's opinion?
Probably number two, Walls being number one just because he's the guy.
The question is, do they divide votes, and is that the conservatives' best chance to finally win?
Well, that would certainly help the conservative side of things. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, a lot. I'd vote for, if it's those three, I would vote for Phillips 100 out of 100 times. But I would if it was Walls versus Phillips, well, there's always going to be Republican, because I would say if it's just Walls versus Phillips, well, then if Republicans, in theory, and you're never forced, by the way, you can write in whoever you want, Republicans would lean more to Phillips. But there's always going to be some visible person. Will the Republicans, do we think, go with the Tim Pawlenty mode of what you're doing is not working? How many times has he said that with us? Your brand is broken. Do something different. It's going to be 20 years when this election takes place since he won in 06. So do something different. So let's look just at the last three attempts. Jeff Johnson, Scott Jensen, and be assured, Scott Jensen wants to be the nominee again. And he's going to do both, because when he came on with us and a few other shows and stories, he was, I learned my ways. I was pulled too far to the right. We've got to change the nominating process. It can't be just the 300, 400 people, 500 people, I forget the precise number, who show up somewhere in Rochester or St. Cloud or Duluth and pick somebody. And more often than not, for both the left and right, it's going to be more of an extremist. And with us, and again, catering to his audience a little bit, it was, I should move back to the middle. Because Scott Jensen was a moderate state senator. He was not that moderate when he ran. But then Scott is still embracing a lot of the COVID, a lot of the suppression, a lot of, you know, common sense. We were not allowed to say that a lot of the MAGA movement still believes it. I think he's running, but the number of prominent Republicans who we don't know about, I'd love to see someone who is more of a center-right person. They would get serious consideration for my vote, because this state in many ways is too far to the left for my politics. In particular, the $18 billion nonsense that the trifecta pulled off the last couple of years. But if I had to guess right now, Dave, I guess it's more to the right. And by the way, if Walls doesn't run, and I'm with you, I think he's running, I think the Democrats would push those who are voting for the nomination. And that's different for the primary, obviously. But they'd push somebody more left to Tim Walls, don't you think?
Yes, I do, because that's what you have to do to be nominated by your party today. You can't be a ride-the-fence kind of guy, you know, slightly left or slightly right. You've got to be all in to get those that are going to show up for a primary to get excited by you.
So there are just a lot of names we're not talking about right now who are going to be in the mix. And I know people are saying Arnie, because Arnie's such a fixture on the show. And now, speaking of stealing, now the Carter Show is stealing Arne Carlson from us. What's next?
No shock.
Do we have to? Do we have to fire hire Maddle to go after these guys?
It'd be a good idea.
I mean, guess bumper music theme of the day, dead to us. Some people saying Arne, come on. Arnie's how old? 88?
Maybe even north of that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Arnie's great. He's sharp. He's a tremendous guest. He's not running again. Now, people are pointing out, a texter in particular, that Walls and Dayton did run in the primary and go against their nominees. So that can happen, but it helps if you're a major name if you're going to try that route. There could be a major name who runs for the Democrats. I hope somebody, if Walls runs, I hope somebody runs against him, but I don't think it's going to happen. And if it, and if somebody ran against him, it's probably somebody to the left, and that's somebody I'm not going to vote for. What's going on with the Twins? Pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. Obviously, it's been a relatively quiet on the baseball side with Derek Falvey, but he's not just the baseball side. He's the president of this team. He's taken over for Dave St. Peter. So multiple topics for Derek Falvey when he joins us in moments on the Home of the Twins, CCO. Well, he already has a couple jobs. He's president of baseball operations. When Dave St. Peter officially steps away, he'll be president of the team. Derek Falvey, we were talking about the governor's race in 2026 in Minnesota. Do you also want to run for that position? Can we make some news right now? Derek Falvey is running to be the next governor of Minnesota.
I can assure you I am not. I have plenty on my plate as is right now, Chad, but I appreciate the ask. That's an easy one for me to answer of all the questions.
Yeah,
I
that was quick. Dave Harrigan, is Derek going to be that quick in all of the remaining answers?
He won't, but frankly, I'm not buying it. I think he just doesn't feel like comfortable announcing yet.
Yeah, let's just put it out. Put it out there, Dave. Just put it out there. Derek Falvey running for governor. Okay.
The internet never lies, so it's got to be out there.
That's true. If I see it on X, Derek, it has to be true. Okay. How much of your time? Dave St. Peter is still there. He's been a great steward of this franchise, but he is stepping away at some point. You can tell me if everybody has a better idea when. It should be more of an advisor, and you're now going to be president of the team, still have your involvement in the baseball side, but also on the business side. How much of your life right now, Derek, is on the baseball side compared to the business side?
Well, Chad, it's been a busy winter, and as you just said, I mean, I'll first start with Dave St. Peter. Obviously, he's been here a tremendous amount of time. His investment in this franchise, in the region, he cares more than anybody I've ever met about Twins baseball and about how we show up every day. And I've gotten the chance to work alongside him for the last 8 years, and going on 9 here, and he's been great. And us discussing what this transition looked like. The best part is he's not going anywhere. He'll remain an advisor for us, and certainly will be an advisor for me going forward. And right now, I would say, to answer your question, you know, it's a little bit split between both, and in many ways, you know, in a way that it has been in the past too. I've gotten a chance at the urging of the poll ads, and certainly with Dave, to understand a lot of our business over the last number of years. This will just force me into the seat to make a few more of those decisions. But ultimately, I feel really good about the team we have around us. It's about, you know, making sure that we're putting people in positions to be successful, and I'll hopefully carry that torch and move it on forward.
When you were approached about this idea, as much as you still love the game itself, was there any part of you felt like I should just concentrate on the business side, or is that a bit of a non-starter for you?
Yeah, I think for me it was always about making sure that I had the ability to see what it looks like with both sides, you know, under the purview. I have a fortunate experience in my career. There's very few who have done this in baseball, but one is Mark Shapiro, my former boss in Cleveland, who now does this, did it in Cleveland, and I got to see that, and then ultimately now does it in Toronto. And, you know, I understand that the key to leading anything, and when you talk to leaders of any business, it's to really have great people around you and have great leaders in spaces that you enable and empower power to do their jobs. And I feel like we have that on the baseball side, have for years, you know, with people running our player development, our scouting, many of the internal operations. And that's true on our business side, too. We've really built this out over the last number of years. We'll continue to put people in seats that make sense, and we'll push our business forward. And as we navigate, you know, some uncertain times right now, I feel really good about the structure we're going to have in place.
So people are very curious about the sale and a timeline and anything you can share for individuals who are curious about that transaction and that process. What can you share right now?
Yeah, candidly, Chad, not much. I mean, ultimately, the Poets have put out, they're exploring this part of the sale, and there's an ongoing process which is handled by a group called Allen & Company, who handles some other transactions across sports. And quite frankly, their process and what they handle, it's kind of like a realtor to a house. You know, they're doing it external from where we are right now, and ultimately will come back and give us some updates along the way. I don't have anything to share today, but as on a day-to-day basis, I've got plenty on my plate inside the business. Trust me, that's my focus, and ultimately, we'll get some information from that as the process proceeds.
Is there, and then I want to get to the baseball side, is there a timeline of when this organization may come back to you, the Poets, and say, here's where we're at right now?
You know, not that I'm aware of right now. So I think the timeline is, you know, as it plays out in front of us, and I know there will be some conversations that the Poets are having with Allen & Company, and they'll come back to us. But as far as I'm concerned right now, they've told me the focus is on continuing to run this group in a day-to-day way to put us in the best position to be successful for 25.
There are plenty of Twins fans listening right now, whether they've been Twins fans for a year or 40 years. Some are loyal, some are fickle, some pay more attention when you're winning. And you know this, the frustration is out there about the payroll, and you also know this, that it's not an automatic that you spend a lot and you win, but it gives you that opportunity. For the fans who want to be more a part of it but are frustrated by the payroll, what do you say to that group? Because as somebody who's lived here now and is a viable part of this community, you don't just go into your house and hide, you're out there. You know there's a group who feel that way. What do you say to those folks who want to be even more involved?
Yeah, you know, Chad, I think you outlined it well. I think, you know, certainly we always want to invest in this team. And when we look at this roster and what we've been able to invest over the years, you know, we've led and continue to lead right now the division in payroll, you know, in terms of the American League Central. We get that there's a disparity around the game and some big numbers and some big markets that are different than ours. But the investment in this team has been very consistent. And even in just the last week to 10 days, you know, an ability to push us up a little bit further, add some guys to the team that are only going to make us better. As we sit here today, we have to go prove it. We have to go earn it. We believe in this team. We believe, you know, as some of the recent publications have put out, that we're right there at the top of the division as we enter this season. Now, we have to go dethrone Cleveland. They did a great job last year. They found a way to navigate to the top of the division after we took it from them in 2023. So this is a competitive division. There were multiple playoff teams, Detroit, Kansas City, Cleveland, all playing in the postseason last year, winning postseason games. So we know it's going to be competitive again. And this will be a fun summer with a group of players led by the likes of Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton, Pablo Lopez, some of the best players in the game, and then young talent like Royce Lewis and others that have stepped up for us, young pitching who we saw last year. So we feel great about this group, especially as we enter camp here in a fully healthy state and a chance to go compete in 2025.
Pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. There's all sorts of position players already down at Fort Myers. Derek Falvey's kind enough to join us at 45 past one. Let's go both sides of this. What do you think is the biggest strength of your team? And when you look at it right now, as we're sitting here the day before pitchers and catchers report, what part of your team gives you the most pause at this point?
Well, I think when you look at our group, we're pretty flexible. You know, we have a number of guys that have played in a number of spots across the field. Obviously, Willie Castro has stepped up for us in being able to be kind of that Swiss Army knife. But I hope we have a little bit more depth, you know, ultimately than we had last year because of the young players who got a ton of experience. I think our pitching staff, you know, in aggregate is a really good staff. And, you know, publications and others that kind of track this stuff have said the same. We feel like we deepened a bullpen group by adding Danny Coulomb to it. But with Joan Duran and Griffin Jacks, the emergence since last year of Cole Sands. I feel good about where that back end is. And then on the starting side, Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, and Bailey Ober have really anchored, you know, the top three spots for the last few years, and I think have emerged, each of them, as guys who can pitch in meaningful games and make a big impact. Then behind it, a healthy Chris Paddock, who just came in. I had a chance to chat with him today. He feels as good as he's felt in a long time. You add in guys like Simeon Woods-Richardson and David Festa and Zebby Matthews, who all got innings for us last year. I feel like that pitching group is a little deeper. As we look at the position player side, all our guys come in a great spot. Carlos is healthy. Royce is entering in a great spot. Byron Buxton, who played more than 100 games last year, is now coming in excited as he's ever been, having had a normal offseason for the first time. So that group's really good. I think we still are tested a little bit in the infield, certainly at first base, you know, and making sure that we have enough depth there. But ultimately, I feel really good about the overall makeup of the club.
Let's talk about what Rocco said. He you know, was a part of a number of media appearances, including with us, where he was very candid, including about a different approach, about all of you getting together and feeling like that not running from the home run, not passing on the home run, but that this group is going to have the emphasis of getting the ball in play, that let's be athletic, let's make solid contact, and the solid contact doesn't have to be feast or famine as much, and that emphasis is going to take place. How do you balance that? Because we've talked about with individuals that the trend has been for years, let's turn this into more of a home run game, a walk game, and for some teams that really works. But when Rocco looked at the last, you know, 40-some games of the season when the lineup went so quiet, can't have that again. And just that decision by the entire organization, and how is that going to play out in spring training?
I think what it is, Chad, and as Rocco articulated well to you when he was back up in the Twin Cities, is that it's more about a mindset and an approach. You know, you're going to have power production to win at the big league level. There's no question about it. I mean, the data doesn't lie on that. You know what works in the postseason. You know you're going to have to hit some doubles and some homers along the way to drive in runs. The pitching is just so good. It's so deep. That needs to come a part of it. But it doesn't mean that needs to be the goal. And I think what we saw over the last 4 to 5 weeks of the season when we didn't hit the way we needed to was a lot of guys going up there and thinking they needed to win the game with that one swing, or they needed to get us back into it with that one swing. And it's really about moving the line along and making sure that you take your at-bat for the next hitter and giving yourself a chance. And I think for young players, you know, some of whom going through the first pennant race of their careers, you know, felt like they were trying to have to put the team on their shoulders and win it with one swing. And we want to get back to what we were doing for a good chunk of last year when we were performing well. It was a team that definitely, it struck out a lot less than the previous year. It put a lot more balls in play, and it was focused on kind of taking it at-bat to an at-bat. And we want to focus on that right from the get-go in spring training. That's going to be something that I know is messaged as soon as position players get here and kick off.
Last couple points with Derek Falvey, president of baseball operations, soon to be the president of the Minnesota Twins. As of now, Royce Lewis starts the season at what position in your infield?
Yeah, at third base. You know, certainly he spent the vast majority of his time there over the last couple of years, and that'll be the focus. You know, going back to last year, he's such a tremendous athlete who has the ability to play other spots. Obviously came up as a shortstop. He played, you know, and going back to high school, he played some in the outfield. He played third. He played second. You know, he's played all around, and he's that kind of athlete. And I think what we've always wanted to keep in mind for him is just thinking about, you know, where does it fit for him over the longer term of his career. He hasn't had as much time in terms of development as other players because of the well-documented injury history. So will he get some time at other spots? Yes, he's aware of that, and he knows that's part of what he wants to be exposed to and be aware of as we continue to evolve him as an infielder. But the vast majority of his time will likely come at third base.
Does that mean Brooks Lee is going to start the start spring training, working at second base more exclusively?
I think it's a good competition for a lot of guys. You know, Brooks is another one of those young players who came up last year and had a good start and then had some struggles toward the end of the season. He'd be the first to admit it. And, you know, his first – experience at the big league level was right in that pennant race and trying to hunt for that playoff run. And I think that'll serve a lot of these guys well and build a great foundation. You know, 2 years ago, Eddie Julian was one of the best hitters on our team, you know, especially down the stretch, and a guy that we really leaned into and performed well in the postseason. He's a guy that I know is looking forward to a chance for a bounce back year. There's other players on our team, whether it's Willie Castro and others that have played at different spots in the infield, and we'll get some of that time at second too. We have a group that hopefully we can lean on that has some depth to it, and we'll see where the competition shakes out as we get toward the start of the regular season.
Last thing, with about a minute or so to go, every time I see a top 100 prospect list, it's Walker Jenkins third, it's Walker Jenkins second, it's Walker Jenkins fourth. You got a guy who has a chance to be a star. If he has a normal, healthy spring training, where does he start the year in the minors?
Yeah, it's a good question, and certainly, as you said, we are ecstatic about what Walker has already done, you know, here with us. He's continued to get better. He gets more physical by the day. He's strong. He just has that kind of elite talent, the baseline. But he's also a great kid and a hard worker and ready to take on, you know, whatever's in front of him. We want to focus on that first part, Chad, which is make sure that he has a fully healthy spring training, make sure he's tracking in a good direction. Obviously, high A, double A are the conversations for us around where he's at to make sure that he can track. But he's still really young. He's had that first first professional season now under his belt. He's learned a lot, gone through some ups and downs, and we'll make that decision as we get toward the end of spring training. But he's a very talented young player that we want to bring along, and hopefully we'll see in Minnesota sooner than later.
Governor, thank you for coming on the show.
The last title I need, I guarantee you.
Thanks, Derek. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it.
Derek Falvey from the Twins right here on CCO.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.